This is the matter of Joseph A. Ferriero. May we please have the appearances of counsel?
Yes, Associate Justice. This is Robert Hilla from McElroy, Deutsch, Mulvaney & Carpenter on behalf of Joseph A. Ferriero. Would you raise the view of this counsel on this attorney?
Thank you. Mr. Ferriero, at the conclusion of your counsel's argument, we'll give you an opportunity to consult with him, and you can make a decision whether or not you want to directly address the court. Thank you. Raz?
Good afternoon, may I complete my video? So good afternoon, may I please the court. We're here before the court in the order of Joseph A. Ferriero, which is hearing a motion for final discipline after respondent was found guilty by a jury in the United States District Court of New Jersey for engaging in criminal bribery scheme as a party official. The respondent, who was chairman of the Bergen County Democratic Organization at the time, improperly induced municipal officials to contract with and hire a certain vendor named John Carino, unbeknownst to those municipal officials. Respondent was taking kickbacks and bribes from Carino in connection with those contracts. Specifically, beginning in about 2007, respondent recommended to local government officials in Bergen County, with whom he had influence as the Bergen County Democratic Organization chairman, to retain the services of a company called C3 Holdings, LLC, C3. C3 was a New Jersey corporation and was owned by Carino. They provided emergency notification systems for local governments. In exchange for respondents' influence and recommendations, Carino agreed to secretly pay kickbacks to respondents calculated at a 25 to 33% commission on the contracts for the towns that ultimately hired C3. Respondent was afforded ample due process. His guilty verdict in federal court was affirmed by United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, where respondent appealed his convictions for three counts. One was violations of the Travel Act, second, the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act, and third was a federal wire fraud statute. The United States Supreme Court denied respondent's petition for the writ of certiorari. Respondent was sentenced to 35 months in prison on each of the three counts, and it ran concurrently. He served 22 months in federal prison. He was temporarily suspended as a result of his conviction in this manner and remains suspended to date. The Disciplinary Review Board determined that his conduct violated New Jersey Rules of Professional Conduct 8.4B for criminal behavior and 8.4C for dishonesty. However, the four-member majority recommended disbarment, and the three-member minority recommended a three-year suspension, I believe retroactive. The OA agrees with the DRB majority that respondent should be disbarred after being found guilty by a jury for bribery in official and political matters. That's New Jersey Criminal Code Annotated 2C 272A. In the DRB majority's decision, the board cited numerous cases in support of disbarment for bribery, which for decades has been a class of misconduct often resulting in disbarment. Both the DRB minority dissent and respondents' counsel brief in response to this order to show cause characterized the DRB majority's decision as reliant on a case called In re Camerano. That was a case decided in 2015 in which Camerano was disbarred following his guilty plea to offering favorable zoning approvals for construction projects to a private developer in exchange for money when he was campaigning for and during a brief term as mayor of Hoboken. The board's minority decision said the majority, quote-unquote, relied on Camerano, while respondent's brief to this court stated that the majority's opinion, quote, is based on a misinterpretation and misapplication of Camerano, but neither of these characterizations are wholly accurate. The board's majority decision explicitly states on page 23, quote, while we recognize the significance of the court's decree in Camerano, we need not rely on it here, and the board did not. But the board majority did, in fact, formulated its recommendation for disbarment, was rely on what it called, quote, 30 years of jurisprudence, in which attorneys engaging in various forms of bribery have been disbarred. The OAE's letter brief to this court also sets forth multiple bribery cases resulting in disbarment. Those cases include disbarment where attorneys accepted bribes, in different roles of public officials, The cases included disbarment where attorneys made bribes to public officials, and there were disbarment cases referenced where attorneys bribed police officers. At the bottom of all these cases is that the attorneys who engaged in bribery in a variety of contexts were disbarred. Here, respondents' conduct falls squarely within the four corners of New Jersey bribery statute. Respondent agreed to accept payments from John Carino as consideration for a particular recommendation on a public issue, and namely that he would give a favorable recommendation to Democrats holding office in Bergen County on a public issue of whether their towns should contract to hire a company called C3. Respondent orchestrated this kickback scheme, and the financial gain was at the heart of his misconduct. As the DRB majority decision notes, there were also distinct victims, the several municipalities that suffered financial harm as a result of his acts, and the sentencing judge ordered respondent to pay restitution to the affected towns. The New Jersey bribery statute makes no distinction between a party official and a public official. The DRB majority decision noted that while disagreement may exist as to whether party officials should be viewed as more potentially dangerous to the public good than public officials when there's misconduct, the DRB majority saw no need to interject a distinction in the bribery statute for the benefit of respondent. It is instructive here to state the Third Circuit appellate court's description of respondent's role as a party official. Third Circuit noted, as party chair, Ferrero wielded significant power in the process of nominating Democrats in local elections and in the process of choosing which issues and candidates the party supported. In his role, he raised money for the Democratic Party. He helped elect Democratic candidates to office. He managed campaigns and important elections. Significantly for this case, one aspect of party business was connecting and recommending vendors to Democrats elected or appointed to local office in Bergen County. The Third Circuit added, quote, respondent was uniquely situated to influence Democratic officials by virtue of his position as party chair. The DRB majority decision also cited statements by a federal prosecutor during respondent sentencing why bribery by a party official may be even more corrosive to New Jersey politics than if committed by a public official. The federal prosecutor noted that party officials can raise and spend large amounts of money on political campaigns, have fewer campaign finance reporting obligations, and no financial disclosure obligations. Moreover, party officials can lurk in the shadows, behind the scenes, and influence people in public office and who want to be in public office, so they can control millions of dollars in the political arena. Respondent here peddled his influence as the Bergen County Democratic Organization chair in a secret kickback scheme that he orchestrated for his own financial gain. He was convicted of criminal bribery on official and political matters. His misconduct as a party official was no less dangerous to democracy or public confidence in government as bribery committed by a quote-unquote public official. To borrow this court's language from Camerano, respondent's crime here was patently offensive to the elementary standards of a lawyer's professional duty. In keeping with decades of case law precedent, respondent should be disbarred for bribery. And I welcome any questions the court may have.
Do you have any response to respondent's brief concerning the weight to be given to a four-person majority?
I did, Justice Albin, and in my brief and petition to opposition, I noted that if one gives a careful reading of the quorum requirements to a DRB decision, and I will read it here since the language, if it's carefully read, will show that position by respondent is unsound. We know what the Rule 120.15c asks, that a quorum shall be at least five members. But that five members is, quote, that a determination that discipline be imposed. It does not say a determination that the same discipline be imposed. You just have to have a quorum to say we're going to impose discipline. And I cited for the court two cases which were 4-3 just as examples in which there was not a, what respondent argued should have been a five-member quorum to impose discipline. It doesn't say the same discipline, it says discipline only. So there was that here, there was a 4-3 majority-minority split that's well within seven people agreeing on discipline is well within the quorum.
This court's review is de novo in any event.
Yes, correct. Right. So that would be the OAE's position, that a careful reading of that does not require it for the same discipline. It requires for a discipline. And seven members did agree that he should be disciplined, okay. Three with suspension and four with disbarment.
Any questions, Mr. Rouse? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Elliott?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel for the Office of Attorney Ethics, and as the court noted, my client who's here, associate justices and judges. We don't contend that my client should not be disciplined. Contrary to some of the assertions in the briefing by the OAE, there's a suggestion that we take the position that there was no violation or the court shouldn't recognize a violation. My client, as is laid out in the papers here, and I would urge the court to look at those papers, his certification, and also the record that has been submitted, is painfully aware of the fact that he violated the law, that he was careless in not researching the law when he went out and arranged a consulting agreement, which, by the way, in his circumstances, and again, what this court has to be concerned about with respect to the quantum of discipline, which is why we're here, because we urge that this court accept the dissent's view of discipline, which is the three-year suspension retroactive, as in accordance with the circumstances in this case and the nature of it. Now, it's clear that there is no precedent for the extreme to which the statute, the bribery statute in New Jersey, was applied here. I won't belabor it because it's in my brief, but the Murphy case, which is a federal Third Circuit, not binding on this court, but it may be instructive with respect to, in that situation, the Bribery Act couldn't serve as a predicate offense, as it did here, for the proposition that there were a political official, in that case a county executive, like Mr. Ferriero, Murphy, in Passaic County, had an obligation or a fiduciary duty or an obligation directly to the taxpayers. So to suggest that the status here, while it is an element of the offense here, and we submit that it is, and he was convicted of that, but to argue that that should not make a difference to evaluate the nature of the offense here for the purpose of applying discipline is to ignore a significant difference, as the Third Circuit even noted in the Murphy situation, with respect to a duty to disclose. And if one reads the indictment here, the federal indictment, and looks at what the jury did in terms of its verdict here, the indictment allegations all talk about the non-disclosure of this C3 agreement, which, by the way, the representations about Mr. Carino that he was smart, that the product of the reverse notification system was good and that it was fair market value. The fact in the record that the proper approval processes were followed. The fact that maybe Mr. Ferriero had influence over people because not only of his role as a party chairman, but because he knew these people for 40 plus years, many of them. And the instances of contact here, and again, this is on the nature. He's been convicted. He's served significant time. He's been bankrupted on. He's lost his family. So he's suffered as a consequence of his actions. He recognizes that he shouldn't have been involved in that agreement in these circumstances. But when you look at that, that influence, there is no evidence in the underlying case that he actually exerted any influence on anyone. There's a lot of discussions by the U.S. attorney in their arguments before the court at sentencing. And what's significant here, and I urge this court to take note of, is that even though there was no distinction for the purpose of a violation, the federal court and the U.S. sentencing guidelines recognize the difference between someone who is a private, unpaid, politically partisan representative and someone who's taken an oath of office to represent the citizens of the governmental entity that they have been elected to represent. Mr. Ferriero was placed by virtue of an election to be a spokesperson for a political party, and that was it. Now, yes, the statute says that under those circumstances, he should not gain a benefit. And the word recommendation and party official are the two triggers here for what caused the conviction. Now, in the case that the jury, in terms of the allegations that the government put forth, again, it all had to deal with the non-disclosure of this C3 agreement. It wasn't that he actually went out and told people how to vote. It wasn't that he made threats to anybody if they didn't vote in favor of a Carino contract. It wasn't that he paid any money. Certainly he didn't pay any money that he received in connection with the contracts, the $11,000 for the various commissions that he earned under the agreement. But it was by virtue of his party status, his political party status, that triggered his liability and culpability under the statute. And as a consequence, he was convicted of that. But again, that's different from the terms of the conviction versus the penalty that the federal court took great pains to distinguish, that he wasn't even a de facto political person, which was argued in the Murphy case in the Third Circuit, that Murphy, at least, there were some arguments that could be made that he was involved in the determination process of certain contracts. In this case, there was none of that. In this case, the recommendation regarding official action has to do with recommending Carino to people he knew. We have a phone call to Mr. Ditkus, who my client knew very well over the years, who was the borough attorney in Cliffside Park. At a League of Municipalities meeting with a number of officials, he spoke or recommended this gentleman to Mayor Darminio. And by the way, the representations he made about Carino and the product, the evidence in the underlying case, back up and weren't the basis for the conviction. So,
can may I ask you a question?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
If a public official,
yes,
a legislator, were if a legislator was paid money by a client so that the legislator would introduce the client to regulators, that clearly would be bribery, correct?
That would be bribery, Your Honor.
Good. Any difference if that's a party chair?
Not with respect to the
under
violation.
Bribery statute.
The issue here, really a central issue in this case, is whether disbarment is the appropriate remedy.
So,
or the remedy that's been...
And that's what you should address, because we can't relitigate what happened in federal court. I mean, your client was convicted of a RICO count, a Travel Act count, and a wire fraud count.
Yes, Your Honor.
So that's... We have to accept those.
Absolutely. But the nature... And again, what I'm going back to the Legato decision of this court, laid out that the purpose of discipline, because my client already is punished under the law, but the purpose of discipline is not to punish, but it's to make sure there's confidence in the legal profession.
Would the confidence of the public be enhanced if we provided a retroactive 3-month suspension here, confidence in your client and in the legal and bar and itself and the judiciary?
Well, and yes, I would submit. As all the people, the only evidence before the underlying court and before the DRB, there was no one that said that their confidence would be undermined
if
he was not restored.
That wasn't an issue in the criminal trial in federal court where the confidence would be undermined. The issue was whether there had been bribery in violation of the Travel Act.
No,
so
but the,
my
this
question to you is, because that's our function here, not to punish. Your client has already served a sentence. And
right.
The question is, would anything short of this barment, in your opinion, enhance the public's confidence in the judiciary, in the bar, and in your client?
Well, I would submit that the standard actually is that this court has to weigh is whether the misconduct here, okay, looking again to the nature and severity of the conduct, which is relevant to this court's determination on disbarment, was so immoral, venal, or corrupt that it totally destroys any vestige of confidence in this individual or the profession. And I would submit that the court can certainly look at the members of the community he's helped that urged at sentencing in their letters, in the, I would urge evaluation of the video, because in deciding whether or not to impose discipline, nature and severity of the offense have to be considered by this court. Whether it's related to the practice of law, the OAE concedes that it wasn't related to the practice of law, and there was no fiduciary duty as a lawyer to a client, and that gets us into some of these issues with respect to whether there was a duty to disclose. But, and the mitigating factors of reputation and conduct. So those are all things, and here again, in the OAE's brief, they say that those mitigating factors, the evidence of that before his court is uncontroverted. So all the uncontroverted evidence in this case about my client's background is that they have confidence in him and his ability to be restored to the profession, and they want him restored to the profession. That's what they submitted at sentencing to the federal court, and that's what was submitted to the DRB with respect to the DRB's review of this. And again, my brief addresses the 5-4 majority issue. And again, this court reviews things in de novo, which is what I said in my brief. I recognize that fact. But I also urge, therefore, that in terms of considering what you're going to do with respect to my client's fate here professionally, because disbarment in New Jersey is a death sentence professionally. There is no coming back. There is no recognition of any ability to reform or any ability to come back and serve as one has done, and in this case, as he's done in the past. So I would submit that the circumstances, and that's why, Justice, and thank you for granting me patience on some of those issues, but I wanted to argue those, not because we're saying he didn't commit a crime, not because we're saying, oh, it was just a little crime, but that the nature and severity of this action, especially in terms of how the statute was applied here, is such that the evidence that the public and the community, the legal profession as well, put before both the criminal court and the DRB is that we have confidence. He's capable of redemption. We're not going to lose confidence in this profession. We're not going to lose confidence in terms of this individual. In fact, if he can get back and do what he did for us before this aberration of character, we want that, and we want that kind of person to serve us going forward. This court in Camarano and the ones before Camarano dealt with the situation where a lawyer either took a bribe or as a public official or about to be a public official, as in Camarano, or paid a public official or someone to make a public decision or take a public action. Now, again, I recognize that statute does not make a distinction there with respect to a violation, and I'm not suggesting that it does. But I think this court can look at that and say that, as the federal court did and the DRB dissent did, that it's a horse of a different color in terms of imposing discipline on someone. And in that circumstance, there is no restriction under the statute in the court's ability to do that.
It wasn't a horse of a different color to the federal district court judge who imposed the sentence.
No, not for the penal. And I don't mean to suggest in terms of, and I don't know how much I can stress that, I'm not saying that it was a different violation. But in terms of the fact that he wasn't a public official, and in terms of the fact that the court pointed to no evidence that he actually corrupted any process or was involved in the corruption of any process, there was nothing to submit that he threatened, paid, or offered to anyone something to do Carino a favor other than to say this is a good guy and his product is good. That fact, the contract, and his status as a county chair is what resulted in the conviction. But the court noted that in the sentencing guidelines, the government there, for the purpose of punishment, and I know we're talking about discipline and not punishment, but for the purposes of punishment, she made a distinction and lowered the levels with respect to what he ultimately received. Similarly, the dissent looked at the distinction between a party official and a public official who actually did something of an official nature based on a bribe or a lawyer bribing someone, that there was a distinction there as well for the purpose of discipline. All I'm saying is that that is the case here, that when one looks at this record here and compares it to the cases where disbarment was ordered, that you don't have misconduct that's so immoral, venal, corrupt, or criminal that it totally destroys any vestige of confidence in the individual or the profession. I'm not submitting that he doesn't be disciplined. He's already been out 5 years almost. So this is, if it's retroactive, this is not just giving him a 3-year suspension.
What has your client been doing over the last 5 years?
Over the last 5 years, he's been doing everything but working as a lawyer, trying to put money and food on his table. He doesn't have anything really steady. He's not employed anywhere. He filed bankruptcy, as the court's aware. We put the bankruptcy documents in there. I mean, he does consulting, Your Honor. Anything he can to cover. I mean, unfortunately, his family situation also left. As you'll note, his comments to the record to Judge Salas, he thought he lost everything, and she was concerned that he not take a final or fatal leap here, that he needed to look at things in the right perspective. So, yes, if certainly with respect to this individual, I don't think there can be a question that he's incapable of redemption and that he's unlikely to engage in this conduct again. The only question here is society confidence in this profession so totally destroyed in that if he gets what the DRB dissent is recommending and which we urge this court accept, will that discipline result in an utter destruction of confidence in the legal profession? And I submit, Justice, that the record, all the record that was submitted before, and again, it was in sentencing and it was also before the DRB, suggests that the answer to that is no, that we still have confidence in the legal profession, we still will have confidence in the legal profession, we have confidence in this individual, and we know that as he's done in the past, he can be a real contributor to society as a lawyer and a contributor to the legal profession as a lawyer.
I think we have your argument. Do you want to consult with your client?
Can I ask him a question?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. He remains on supervised release, correct?
That is correct.
For another 2.5 years?
My understanding is there may be an application they're contemplating to try to terminate that.
Until that's terminated, what are the limitations of that supervised release?
Unfortunately, I can't tell you without going back and looking at the documents relating to the court sentencing. I'm sorry on
that's
that.
That's right. I understand.
Why don't you consult with Mr. Ferriero and see if he wants to address the court?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Your Honor, my client would like to say a few words, and thanks the court for its indulgence.
No problem. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. I wasn't expecting to be afforded this opportunity, but I'm grateful for it. Other than the birth of my three children, the proudest and greatest day for me was being admitted to the bar in New Jersey. And I was so proud of that, that during my 30-some-odd years of practice, I never had an ethics violation. I served on fee arbitration, chairman of the district ethics committee. I was appointed by this court special master in an ethics proceeding. My service, I'm not going to go into it, but it's certainly in the record. The executive director of the Bar Association outlined all the volunteer work and pro bono work and everything that I did as an attorney. Never did I think that I was breaking the law. So many county chairmen did lobbying, and I have to acknowledge, having read the statute, simply being a party official and saying something positive would qualify, you know, under the statute. And I'm not looking to mitigate in any way. I accept my error, but I assure this court, I never thought that I was breaking the law. I mean, it was an introduction at a cocktail reception at the League of Municipalities. This is John Carino. It was, you know, I never ever said, vote for this, do this. I mean, it was just simple, like, if you need somebody, here's a good guy. Like, I never thought that I was committing bribery. And I just asked the court to really take a look at my service as an attorney. And I'm just asking, I can certainly assure you that I would never ever do anything to compromise myself as an attorney and this profession. And that's all I have. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Ferriero. Great. Okay. Thank you. Our decision will be reserved. Have a good day.
Thank you.
These proceedings are over. Thank you.